Okay, folks, welcome. This is Jeff Sachs here, coming to you only online tonight. I apologize for that. The mechanics of life get in the way. So in order to be in two places at once, so we're meeting online, not in shul. I know many of you usually just join us online. And next week we'll go back to being in the shul and broadcasting from there. And I apologize. We're gonna have to cut it a little bit shorter tonight so that I can then go, be, like I said, in two places at once. But right before we started the recording here on Web Yeshiva, we were talking about Aaron Lanin's deeds of righteousness, or something like that.
Not to go there.
I heard you saved some lives today or something. So you were trying to hide that. So I'll just remind you of what Agnon writes in Tehillah. The narrator has done a good deed, but he doesn't publicize it. But Tehillah, that righteous old woman, who knows about it, she praises him for it. And it says, "Horadati et roshi ka adam shebosh l'shmoa shivcho." I lowered my head like somebody who was embarrassed to hear his own praises being sung. Hirgisha bedavar v'amra. She took note of this, and she said, "Mitzvot lav lehitbayesh nitno." Mitzvot were not given to be embarrassed by doing them. It's a play on words. The Gemara says, "Mitzvot lav lehe'enot nitnu." Mitzvot are not given in order for us to derive benefit from. The purpose of doing a mitzvah is a mitzvah. But she says, "No, you shouldn't be embarrassed by the mitzvot that you do." Avotenu shehayu osi mitzvot harbei lo hayu mefarsimim et ha-mitzvot. Our forefathers, the men of old, who would do many, many mitzvot, they wouldn't publicize their good deeds. Anu. She'anu mima'atim b'mitzvot, but we don't do so many mitzvot anymore. Mitzvah lefarsem kol mitzvah she'osim. It is obligatory to publicize the good deeds we do. Kadesh yishmu acherim v'yilmadu mima'asein, so that others may learn from our deeds and copy us. So there you go. There you go, Vladimir. There you go. Okay, welcome aboard, to those of you that are joining online. And those of you that are watching the recordings, we were here on daf Mem Bet Omer Aleph, the top. I'll go back just a drop. We were still exploring this idea of what the source for shlichut is. How do we? What's that? But we were looking for the source for what shlichut is. How do we know that a person's agent is like him? So the Gemara had said, Ela mihocha, perhaps this is the source. Yikhu lahem ish se levet avot se levayit. That a group of people together bring the Korban Pesach. Bring together, but only one person obviously shechts it. One person. Ish se labayit. One person is in charge of getting the job done, but everybody fulfills the obligation of Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, Vidilma hatam nami. But perhaps in this verse, as earlier the Gemara had suggested the sources, Vishachatu ato kol kala dat Yisrael ben harabayit, that everybody shechts the Korban Pesach. So obviously not everybody's out there with the knife shechting the Korban Pesach. So it must be done through shlichut. And the Gemara rejected that idea because of this same idea it's about to introduce here, because perhaps Dilma Hatam Nami Itle Shutafut Bigavaihu. No, maybe that's different. Maybe that can't serve as the home base source for all of Shlichut, because it's a partnership, right? Everybody's a partner, a co-owner, has shares. Last week we talked about Google. Right, so everybody has shares in this Korban Pesach. So perhaps the requirements of Shlichut are different. Right? Since I'm an owner, I already have a connection to my partner, to my other person who's actually carrying out the slaughtering of the Korban. So maybe we can't learn out from this case to a case, let's say, of delivering a get or being Makadesh, a woman, for marriage. Because there, the Shaliach has no partnership with me, right? I don't want him to be my partner in this marriage, right? I just want him to be my long arm delivering the wedding ring. So the Gemara here says the same idea. Maybe if this is the verse, if this is the verse that's the source for shlichut, it's the same problem. Once you're talking about Korban Pesach, it's the same thing. So imkain trei kroi nameli. So if so, why do you need two psukim? If both of them are teaching the same thing and both of them are equally problematic, why do you need two psukim? One pasuk of a shachatu oto kol kahal adat Yisrael ben arbayim, that the entirety of the Jewish people would slaughter the Korban Pesach in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Oy, Pesach's coming up. Don't forget. And it's 6 weeks from tonight. On the other hand, what do you need the pasuk of v'kichu lehem ish se levayit, each person brings this lamb per household. So what do you need the two psukim? The Gemara says im eino inyan lahocha de shayich tanehu inyan lahocha de lo shayich. So it is two psukim. One is for the case where it's shayach, where it's relevant, where the halacha is properly placed, meaning it's true when the shaliach is also a partner, and it's also true when the shaliach is not a partner. In other words, since the Gemara says, since we know the case of Korban Pesach might be exceptional, because everybody who's doing it becomes a partner in the operation, and therefore maybe it's a different category of shlichut than it is in other cases. So you teach it once for the exceptional case, and one to tell you that it's also true across the board. the other night that we have now a new book. It's really big and fat. It's about 1,000 pages long. The Rishimot Shiurim of Rabbi Soloveitchik on Masechet Kiddushin. This is a series of books that have been coming out now for probably about 30 years, since right after Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away. You know, we're coming up, this Pesach is the Rav's 30th Yahrzeit. Next, in 2 weeks, is the Rav's 120th birthday. And in 6 weeks or so, it's his 30th Yahrzeit. Here on Web Yeshiva, on that date, on his birth date, which is Yud Bet Adar, meaning the day before Tanit Esther, is the Rav's birthday. This year it's March 5th. Here on Web Yeshiva, we'll be having some special programming about the Rav's legacy, including Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, the Rav's daughter, and myself together in conversation. But Rabbi Herschel Reichman, Rabbi Tzvi Reichman from Yeshiva University, has been putting out these books for many years, and he collects up the notebooks of all of the fellows that were in the Gemara Shiur over the years, and he puts out, basically, he reconstructs the Rav's Shiurim. So this is a small piece on this particular point of Shutafut Begavayu, that if the Shaliach is not a Shaliach, but a partner, perhaps it's exceptional. So this is what the Rav says. This is what Rabbi Soloveitchik says. When the Gemara rejects this whole idea that this is the source, this is exceptional, there are two aspects to it. Number one, since the purported shaliach is also a partner in the korban, there's no shlichut at all. Right? That's when you're partners, each partner acts on behalf of everyone. That's partnership means we create, that's what a corporation is, right? A corporation is a kind of entity that exists because there are partners in it. Ela diyesh din de be korban pesach rak echad mehabalim tzarich lasot et maaseh hashchita. But when it comes to the korban pesach, so there's 10, 12, 15, however many partners there are in this chabura. But the way that the korban is brought, he calls it a din. This is the halacha. But it's also just the technique that only one person actually does the shchita. Ulafize muvan de'ef shar lil mod meha de shochatin korban pesach echad l'kol Yisrael l'shlichut. B'kol HaTorah Kula. Right? So obviously, it's not possible to learn from this case that one person slaughters the Korban Pesach, right? That's some kind of typology from which we learn about shlichut for kol haTorah kula, for all the other, let's say, normal cases. And number two, be'emet, chal din shlichut keshe'echad shochet haKorban Pesach bad kol Yisrael. But if you remember, the Gemara had entertained this idea that all of the Jewish people could be shareholders on one little goat, one little lamb, chad gadyo, and would be yotzei, according to that shita, would be yotzei Korban Pesach being slaughtered on behalf of them, even though obviously not everybody would be able to eat from. There wouldn't be enough meat to go around for everybody to have a kezayit of that korban. But that idea, obviously, that would be some kind of shlichut, that one person is doing it on behalf of all the Jewish people. Ela de'i efshar lilmod mikan l'shlichut b'kol haTorah kula. But we cannot extrapolate from that to learn anything about how shlichut works or what the source of shlichut is for kol haTorah kula. But this phrase kol haTorah kula means, in the general principle, the way that shlichut works throughout the rest of the Torah, whenever there are shlichim. Dehare yesh lomar, dechalot shlichut chala rak hecha dehashliach chave ba'alim echad mitoch kama ba'alim. Because for Korban Pesach, the shaliach is only a shaliach, according to that opinion, if he's a partner with all of the other people, which is, as I said moments ago, different for kiddushin, right? The fellow who's mekadesh the woman on my behalf is not my partner. He doesn't own a share in the ring that he's carrying, any more than the Amazon delivery man owns the object that's in the box that's showing up on my door.
But that wouldn't apply to regular carbonate.
That wouldn't apply to. Right, hold on a second. People are trying to get into the shir, and I'm just. Oh, I feel bad. I guess there are people who aren't all on the didn't all get the message. Okay.
Saying that
I'm
there's
sorry, David. Go ahead.
that this is why, but with regular korbanot that wouldn't apply, because unlike in the regular in Korban Pesach, we are all shochatim. It's not the kohen, not only the kohen is shochet the korban, but the regular korbanot, only the kohen can do some of the functions of the korban. So that's a different level of obligation, which might be more likely to be parallel to marriage or other situations where somebody's more obligated and somebody is just the messenger.
Right. Well, in other words, if there are aspects of korbanot that can only be carried out by a kohen, and you, David, are not a kohen any longer, and I am not a kohen, right? And I bring a korban. Is the kohen my shaliach for the things that I can't do, or is that the way you do a korban?
I don't know, but it's certainly not shutafut. It's not shutafut like
It's
it is with
certainly
Korban
not shutafut.
Pesach. That's definitely a different level with regular korbanot, and there's no issue
Absolutely.
of shutafut in regular korbanot. It's not the same type
Certainly,
of issue.
certainly, certainly not. And certainly not for a korban yochid, where I'm the sole owner of the korban. I have to bring a chatat. I'm the sole owner of the korban, or I bring a korban todah, because something good happened to me. I'm the sole owner of the korban, even though I'm outsourcing some of the labor to the kohanim. But they're not my shlichim per se. That's the way you bring a korban. But korban pesach. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Korban pesach is different. Let's just do another little piece here. Yesh la'ayan lefi hatzada sheni lama misvara yesh lomar derak ba'alim yecholiot shaliach. But according to this presumption that only someone who has ownership in the Korban Pesach can be the shaliach for bringing the Korban Pesach, nira leva'er debli hagzerat hakatuv shel shlichut, that without a scriptural source, the Gzerat HaKatuv, without one of these psukim telling us this, ein adam echad yechol lasot ma'ase ba'ad chaveiro. But without a source for shlichut, we've been kind of working under the assumption that it's obvious that there's such a thing as shlichut. I mean, we know from our experience, of course, that there is such a thing as shlichut. But the Rav says this whole Gemara, all this for an omen and a half already, we've been trying to get to this question of what is the source for shlichut? Maybe Taka, unless there is a source, I mean, obviously there's a source, we just have yet to identify it. Unless there is a source, so then maybe there would be no such thing as shlichut. You can imagine a parallel universe in which there's no such thing as shlichut. There are certain things that have to be done for yourself. Like we said, I think, in our first year, right? You cannot fulfill tefillin by a shaliach, right? If Reuven puts on tefillin on Reuven's arm and head on behalf of Shimon, Shimon has not fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin. It has to be done with his own body. And you can imagine a world, imagine, you know, that there's no such thing as kiddushin al yedei shaliach. But when our Mishnah told us that there's such a thing that a person, ish mekadesh al yedei shaliach, we could live in the world if that wasn't the case. As a matter of fact, we all do live in the world that way. All of us who are married or have been married, right, men and women alike, none of us fulfilled kiddushin through shlichut. We could imagine a world in which there's no such thing as shlichut. So the Rav says, without a gzeirat hakatuv, without a pasuk teaching us that there's such a thing, without some kind of biblical source, maybe taka de bino shlichut. L'mashal, bal eino yechol limanot shliach l'holachol l'teit get l'ishto. Maybe you wouldn't be able to deliver a get by messenger. V'yesh leve'er et hachisaron benetinat get al yedei echad v'bet ofanim. Number one, bli achidush d'shlichut, ein shum ma'ase geirushin klal, kishadam acher noteina get l'isha. And he's spelling out the havamina. What would it be if we lived in a world where there's no such thing as shlichut? Well, in some ways it would make a lot more sense, right? It's perfect. What? Imagine you don't know that there's such a thing as shlichut. Imagine you land from Mars and you don't know anything at all about how Jewish divorce works. You don't even have to land from Mars. You might land from Montana. So I tell you, well, Jewish divorce works. There's a bill of divorce, a writ of divorce that has to be prepared with the name of the husband and the wife, and it's signed by witnesses. And the husband gives it to the wife, and that action of handing the get to the wife is what severs the marital bond, and that creates divorce. Or I tell you, all of that, plus he can deliver it through a messenger. Which of those would you think sounds more plausible? I would think the first. Right? As a matter of fact, this person who just landed from Montana would open up the Gideon Bible that's in his nightstand table, and he would see that the pasuk says, V'natan biyada. And he, the husband, places it in her hand. That's exactly what the pasuk says. But which of the two scenarios is more logical based upon your reading of the verse? That he must do it himself, or that he can do it through a shaliach? Right? If you didn't know better, you would say v'natan biyada means he must do it himself. He, the husband, has to put it in her hand. So number one, you might think that there's no such thing as shlichut for a get. V'yesh leva'er et chisrim benitin get al yedei echad beveta aleph. It doesn't constitute a divorce act if a shaliach delivers it. Bet beemet yesh chalot shem maase gerushin keshaacher noten et haget shel bal leishto. Or no, you say that act, if Reuven appoints Shimon to deliver a get to Leah, Reuven's erstwhile wife, that is considered an act of divorce. Amnam ein seruf bein maaseh hashaliach lemishaleach. V'lachein maaseh hagerushin eino mityaches labal ve'eino chal. What? In other words, is that act of the shaliach handing over the get considered an act of divorce, or isn't it? Is it a meaningless halachic act? What? If Reuven decides, if Shimon decides, you know what, my friend Reuven, he's really unhappily married. I'm going to do him a favor for his birthday. I'm going to surprise him. I'm going to write a get for his wife and deliver it to her and get him off the hook. So if Shimon does that, what do we call that?
Fraud?
No, it's nothing. It doesn't exist. It has absolutely no halachic significance whatsoever. What? Well, the fi hatzada chisaron have ebit siruf shal maaseh ha'acher lemegaresh, azay achidush shel shlichut hu diyesh siruf bein ha'shaliach lemishaleach. That's the whole patent of shlichut, that when Reuven authorizes the get and hands it to Shimon and says, bring this get to my wife Leah, that it constitutes a halachic act. Right? The shlichut is an extension of the husband himself. Bilachora had to eat the shaliach shutafut begavaihu eino ma'ale ve'eino morid bezit. And whether or not the shaliach is somehow a partner, right, is irrelevant. But al kein im yesh lichut b'shchitat korban pesach yesh l'lmod misham l'kol haTorah kula. The shutafut is irrelevant. He's learning it backwards. He says, let's look at Gittin. How does shlichut work? Shlichut works because Reuven can empower Shimon to act on Reuven's behalf. Obviously, in the case of Gittin, there's no partnership. So in the Korban Pesach, when Taka, one of the guys is a partner, one of the group, one of the Chabura, does the act, and all of the members of the Chabura are partners, the partnership is irrelevant. Don't be distracted by the partnership to think that, to think that that's something unusual, and that would be required elsewhere. Oh, hold on a second. Okay, and we'll pause there with Rabbi Soloveitchik. But we'll come back to this 1,000-page work that has all different types of insights of Rabbi Soloveitchik's teachings on our Masechta. I got it. I received it as a present from the authors. I don't think it's yet available. I'm sure it'll be available in Mincer at some point. He has the other books in the series, but it's a very heavy book. So the Gemara goes on. V'hai. Hi, mi boile. So the Gemara rejected this idea about the partnership being relevant, says that the pasuk of v'yikchu lehem ish se levet avot se levayit, that a person that every person takes a lamb, each one according to the number of people in their household, that pasuk is required likidei Rabbi Yitzchak, for the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak. What did Rabbi Yitzchak teach? The Rabbi Yitzchak, ish zoche velo hakatan zoche. That it's an adult, an ish, who is the one who can acquire the korban pesach, but a katan, a minor, someone pre bar mitzvah, cannot do the job. Hahu mi ish lefi ochlo nafka. And that is learned out from the pasuk ish lefi achlo. Ish velo katan, right? A grown adult and not a child. And that's what the pasuk is teaching from the word ish, from man. V'achati mi boyele. And the pasuk is That pasuk of ish lefi achlo is required in order to teach the shochatin at pesach al hayachid, that you can, that you could, that that pasuk could be teaching us that you can shecht the Korban Pesach for just one person alone. Now, what does that mean? You can shecht the Korban Pesach for one person alone. What do we know about the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach? It's done in a chabura, in a group. You do some calculation. You say there are 10 kezeitim worth of meat. David, I thought you, David, we gave you an assignment. You were supposed to find out how many kezeitim there are in the average
I think someone reported that last week,
lamb.
didn't they? I actually.
You know, I mean, maybe we just had a nice fleishik meal at Fishko when we finished Masechet Taanit. So maybe we'll have to have some lamb when we finish this sugya. So let's, I don't know, let's say there are 10 kizeitim, 10 measures of meat in this goat. So you have 10 people sign up for the goat because you're not allowed to leave leftovers. You want to work it out. But it would have to be, oh, David, you just, God bless you, you just posted something. Maybe you also send it to the WhatsApp group. But you know, like, how does the math work out? It always comes out evenly. Remember, like when you were a kid and you'd break up the class to kickball teams, right? You choose two cat. You know, it was great. This was like what formed us. Today they don't do it this way anymore because you don't want anyone to feel bad. But you remember, there'd be two captains. The two captains were the two best athletes and the two coolest kids in the class. And then they would each pick one kid from the class to their side. So they first pick their best friend, and then he picks his best friend, and then he picks the prettiest girl, and then she picks the prettiest girl, and so on and so forth until there's one person left because there's an odd number of kids in the class. That's David, you're volunteering. So in my school, it was me, right? That's why we're here at our advanced age learning Gemara instead of out there playing kickball at this
In my school, it was
hour.
me.
It was all of that's how we all ended up who we are. But like, what do you do with that last kid? So that last kid, they'd make him sit the bench, right? Because it wasn't fair to how you have to have even teams. So what do you do? Everybody's dividing up into chaburos. So there's X number of lambs in Bnei Israel and Y number of hungry Jews. It can't, the math can't work out perfectly. So could you shecht the Korban Pesach for a yachid, for one person? So it's a machlokas in the Gemara, in Psachim. According to the opinion that you can, it can be done. What's that? Is it a technical problem that you can't shecht a whole korban for one person because lechatchila you can't create a situation in which he's going to violate leaving leftovers?
The same would be for two, though.
Okay, or no, or is the problem inherently there has to be a chabura, right? Inherently there has to be a chabura. A person can't do it on his own. Why, conceptually, why would you say that an individual can't let's say guy's really hungry, guy's got a voracious appetite. He's able to eat a whole lamb on his own. Steve, is Steve with us? Well, this is the time of the shiur where we remember Steve, who may be at home right now, eating a whole lamb. So if you have somebody who taka can eat a whole lamb by himself, maybe he's got a big appetite and it's a small lamb. Would that be okay?
Presumably, maybe not a chachila, but certainly, why not? I mean, there's nothing in
It
the psukim it doesn't
depends.
seem to be.
It depends. Is the problem a technical one? Well, you can't have a korban for just one person because lechatchila, you're painting him into a corner where he's going to have to leave leftovers because no normal person can eat a whole lamb. Or even if he could eat the whole thing, it's no good because there's no chabura. So what's the have? Why would there be a requirement to have a chabura, to have a partnership, even if he's able to eat it all on his own?
For me, a conceptual thing that, you know, this question of being like together in this, and you're having kesher with everybody else.
Okay, so why is that specially required for Korban Pesach? I
Otherwise,
think you're onto something, but why?
you theoretically have to tell over people you see this inside, you have to talk
Yeah,
about it.
because it's inherent to Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, even though b'dieved, we know that there are times where people are all by themselves, like we had
And
2 years
Corona.
ago during Corona, right? But lechatchila, the Seder night has to be experienced in the company, ideally in the parent-child relationship. You got to be levin chabiyom ahu. But even if we were kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu yodim et hadin, mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'yetziat Mitzrayim kol odo halayla, right? Even if we don't have to, even if it's all great wise rabbis sitting around the table in Bnei Brak, so they have to tell each other. It's dialogical. It's the night of the dialogue. So maybe Shalom, you're correct. Your word conceptually is correct, that even if a person could eat the whole thing and there's no problem with leaving over leftovers, it's still no good. Or maybe the problem is just the technical problem that since one person can't eat the korban all by himself, he can't do it all by himself. But in that case, it would be a problem as well for two people eating the korban if two people alone can't eat the whole thing. Yes, Aaron, your hand is raised. How polite.
Besides that point, I just don't see how it can be a technical problem, because if you have two people, right? I happen to live in Montana with my son, and there are no Jews around. I'm going to have a Seder. It's a perfectly fine Seder. I'm going to be telling Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim to my son. And I'm going to fly into Yerushalayim to do the shechting. Now, the problem is that even two people can't eat a whole goat. So the fact that you're leaving stuff over doesn't mean that this is pasul in any way, shape, or form. You burn what's left over.
Okay.
Now you can
No, but the
theoretically
question is,
have,
so
you
then the
know.
question, but lechatchila, you shouldn't do it.
You could have a large group of people, it's enough people to finish it off, and then let's say all of them become tummy except for one.
No,
Then what
that's a
happens?
separate problem. That's a separate problem. But when they shechted it, lechatchila, it was okay. When they shechted lechatchila, it was okay. Right? And the one guy who's left, Rachmanis, he'll eat as much as he can, but what can be done? But lechatchila, whether or not you can shecht for one person. So the Gemara says, you need that pasuk of ish se labayit to tell you to shochatin et pesach al hayachid, that even an individual can bring, according to this opinion, an individual can shecht the whole korban. Savar mar kamanda omar. Right. So that opinion is according to the one that says ein shochatin et pesach al hayachid. Right. Right, so the Gemara answers that the opinion that pasuk is needed to teach you shlichut and not to teach you something about whether or not you can do it according to a yachid, because that opinion that says the pasuk is used to teach you shlichut does not hold that an individual can bring his own korban pesach. Right, and therefore he uses the pasuk for something else. Now that opinion of Rabbi Yonatan that the pasuk is used for something else, and therefore presumably he does not allow the yachid to bring the korban pesach. Either it's for the technical reason, or it's for the conceptual reason that Shalom spelled out. Ve'ela hada omar Rav Gidel, and no. So wait a second. The Gemara says maybe there's a whole different source for shlichut. What's this other source for shlichut? Now moving past Korban Pesach, so Rav Gidel said it's from a pasuk in Parshat Maaseh. Omar Rav, minayin shishlucho shel adam kemoto. How do we know that a person's shliach is like him? Shne'emar v'nasi echad mimateh. That when in Parshat Maaseh, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. when they're divvying up, or the description of how they will divvy up the Eretz Yisrael after they go in, after Yehoshua ben Nun will lead them, and they'll fight the Milchama, and they'll divide up, they'll have the Chiluk Ha'aretz, how will they divide up the land according to the Shvatim? So it says each Shevet has a Nasi, each Shevet has a leader, a prince, and each, the leader of each Shevet will acquire their portion on behalf of everyone in the Shevet. And that is a form of Shlichut. V'tepuk, tepuk le Shlichut mehacha. And from here we learn out the source of Shlichut. V'tisbera daha Shlichut hu? Do you really think that that's Shlichut? When the Nasi is acquiring this portion for Yehuda and that portion for Yisachar and the Benyamin, and is that really a for? Is he acting as a shaliach? Vaha? Well, so before we mashallah adav dome. Right. Well, like elected leaders, they do things. They're endowed with certain authority to make treaties, for example. So when a leader makes a treaty, is he acting as the shaliach of all of the people?
Depends on your understanding of how the relationship between the governed and the governed works. It's not a, there's some who view themselves as shlichim and some who view themselves as the...
No, but you're talking shlichim. Obviously, we like to think, let's, without getting to politics of current events here in our little country, we like to think of our leaders as our shlichim, right? They've been designated. But they're not shlichim in that sense. Because after all, a shaliach can only do what the mishaleach authorizes him to do. If Reuven sends Shimon to be Makadesh Leah, Shimon can't change his mind. And, he gets there, he says, wait a second, why are you marrying Leah? Rachel. Rachel's more pretty. She's more rich. She's smarter. She smells better. She's got everything. I'm going to do him a favor. I'm going to be Mekadesh Rachel instead of Leah. Why can't the Shaliach do that? Because he's only authorized to be Mekadesh Leah.
It's like the difference between a diplomat and a governor or a politician of some sort.
Right.
A diplomat doesn't have the authority to decide anything on. They're only being sent by the
authority. Right. If you read history, unlike today, ambassadors are, highly... ambassadors don't have too much authority of their own, but in the pre-technological era, if you read, John Adams was the first ambassador to the court of St. James in the early days of the American before the Republic, before the Constitution, right, under the Articles of the Confederation. So he was authorized with certain things that he could do, decisions he could make on his own. But there were a lot of, and Jefferson at the same time was in Paris. So in all their letters, they're constantly saying, well, I told King Louis that, I'll have to get back to him. I have to consult with people back in the United States. Because I'm just a messenger. Right. So that's a good example. When we make someone a leader to be our leader, and they're going to enter a treaty with a foreign nation, it's not exactly shlichut, because he can do that. He's authorized to do that, whether we like it or not. But in other words, ripped from the headlines, elected officials do certain things. They are authorized to take certain action. And even if right now we were to have some kind of way to do a mish'al am, what do you call that?
Referendum.
A referendum, right? And we were to show that 51% or 99% of the population do not want the government to do this. But nevertheless, if the government does it, if the government passes that law, it's the law of the land. The people don't like it. They can vote the bums out the next time there's an election, which, by the way, might be coming up very soon. But there's no doubt that the laws passed by the elected majority, even if they go against the will of the people that sent them there, are in fact the laws of the land. And they can be, of course, overturned by some subsequent Knesset. They're not our shlichim in the same way. Because shlichim can only do what the mishaleach sends. They are our delegates, right? We give them the keys to the car and they can choose how to drive. And we either like it or we don't like it. So the Gemara says, are the nisi'im choosing the territories? Is that shlichut exactly? So the Gemara says, v'haktanim lav b'nei shlichut ninhu. Children are not partners to shlichut. Children can neither be shlichim, nor can they appoint shlichim, because to be a shaliach you have to be involved in the thing itself. Ela kiha de Rava bar Rav Huna, de Omar Rava bar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Gidel, Omar Rav Minayin shezachin la Adam shelo befana. How do you know this principle? In other words, I'm sorry, go back a step. What's the sign that the nesi'im dividing the land is not a form of shlichut? Because they were also acquiring the land for the minor children that were part of their shevet, who would acquire their portion if their father was not around in order to get it himself. So obviously that action can't be shlichut because children can't be involved in shlichut. So the Gemara says, what is it? It must be like Rav Huna taught. Rav Huna said, how do you know that there's such a thing as zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav? And there's two sides to every transaction. There's a zechiah, there's a benefit, and there's a chov, there's an obligation. So we know that you can't generate an obligation for someone else against their will. We just had in my office is in a shared apartment. And like, you know, most people who live in shared apartments for their regular homes, there's a vad bayit. Right? You know, there's certain common expenses for the building that everybody has to take part of. So one of the people in the building decided he didn't like the way the light at the front of the building looked. He wanted to change it. So he went out, he bought a new light fixture. He called an electrician. He paid the electrician to install the light fixture. And then he sent a notice to everyone in the building. I did this. You all owe me 108 shekel for your share in doing this. So people were correctly upset about this. Right? In other words, you can't go out and do something on behalf of the partnership without getting the consent of the governor. No taxation without representation. Right? In other words, there was nothing wrong with the old light fixture. He just wanted something that looked a little different. So I said to him, you know, I'm happy to pay the money, but you know, you can't go out and spend the money on my behalf without my agreeing to it, and then expect me now suddenly you've created a financial obligation on my part. So we say ein chavin la'adam shelo b'fanav. You can't create a situation in which a person becomes obligated to pay something to which he was not privy to. But zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. If somebody comes along and says to one of the people in the building, oh, We think your building has the nicest flower bed in the neighborhood, and we'd like to give you a prize on behalf of the Neighborhood Beautification Committee. Are you prepared to sign this piece of paper awarding your building 1,000 shekel to be divided equally between the residents? He is allowed to do that because the presumption is I'm happy to get my share of the 1,000 shekel prize. Zachen l'adam shelo b'fanav. So here the Gemara says, how do you know zachen l'adam shelo b'fanav? How do you know that you can create a benefit for people even if they're not aware of it? Shne'emar v'nasi echad nasi echad. From our pasuk of dividing up Eretz Yisrael for the Shvatim. Right? In other words, it's not shlichut. It's zakin. The nasi is not acting as the shaliach of the people. He's acting as the mizakeh. Right? The person who's causing the benefit to all of the members of his tribe to each get their share in Eretz Yisrael. But wait a second, the Gemara says. V'tizber az zchuti? Are you so sure that the division of Eretz Yisrael into different parcels is a zchut, is a benefit for everybody? Ha? Chovanami ika. There is also an aspect of disadvantage, of detriment here. De'ika de'nichale bahar, velo nichale bavika. Ve'ika de'nichale bavika, velo nichale bahar. Well, because once you roll the dice and you get your portion, so what if you don't like to live where your lot was drawn? What if you like to live in the mountains and instead your nasi chose for you a place in the valley or vice versa? Right? In other words, each piece of like many of us are here in Efrat. We all like living up here in the mountains. It's cool in the summer, right? You don't even need air conditioning. Got a beautiful view, but not everybody likes it. Some people like to live near the ocean. If surfing is the most important thing, if you want to go surfing every day of your life, living in Efrat is not so convenient. It would be a chov. That means every day I have to get up early and drive all the way to the beach. But if I lived along the chov, if I lived in Zichron, if I lived in Netanya, that would be a schut. For me, I wouldn't like that so much because it's too hot. So depending upon your personal tastes, the flip side of every schut is a chov, and the flip side of every chov is a schut. Ve'ela k'derav bar Rav Huna. The Omer Rav bar Rav Huna, Omer Rav Gidel, Omer Rav minayin liyatomim shebo'u lachlok b'nichsei avihen shebetin ma'amidim lahem apotropis l'chov v'l'schut. So what a second. What about a parallel case? What about a parallel case when you have orphans? You have orphans who are minors, meaning parents died, and you have small children that are inheriting the property. So the betin appoints an apotropos. An apotropos is like a guardian to take care of the financial matters of the minor children. So when the guardian divides up the property to parcel out to the yatomim, he's allowed to do it both for zchut and also for chovah. I mean, you know, if anybody's had to rachmanis clear out their parents' apartment after 120 years, and you had to divvy up with you have to divvy things up with siblings, so cash money is easy to divide, right? Because cash money can be divided 50-50, or four people can each take 25%, or however it works. But property, either movable property or real estate, well, not so much, unless you liquidate all the assets and all you do is take cash. But usually people say, well, I'd like this armchair. But if I take this armchair, that means I give up my rights for that china or whatever it is. And, you know, this is why, unfortunately, sometimes these things get a little messy between siblings after the parents have shuffled off the mortal coil. So the apotropos, the guardian of the yatomim, is entitled to make decisions and to divvy up the property, even though in doing so, he's creating benefits, but also detriments to the children.
But there's a difference there.
Yeah.
The Apotropos, there's no other person who could take that agency. So the Apotropos has to do it. The kids can't do it on their own.
Yeah, there's no, but you could say, there's another possibility. You could say you have to wait till they all grow up.
Well, for everything? I mean, that's not a reasonable. That's why, if you could say that, you wouldn't need Apotropos in the first place. You're saying you have an Apotropos because you, some decisions need to be made. So it's not like a situation where you have one person with agency who decides initially.
So excellent. So what do we do? So what do we say? We say that Apotropos is what? He is there.
He is like thinking on their behalf, not just, he's them. He's not just their shaliach. Right. He's not their shaliach because they can't appoint a shaliach. They're not,
you know, he's their shaliach plus. Yeah, no, but so the betid. The betin.
He's the shaliach of the betin. He's not the shaliach of the kid.
Right. But in financial matters, the betin has extra authority. Either because of hefker, betin, hefker, for certain reasons, we say that a betin is allowed to go into somebody else's pocket and rearrange their finances. But the betin makes him, the apotropos, makes him the shaliach for the children, and he can, in fact, do things which are both to the benefit and to the detriment, because when you divide up the property, nobody gets everything that they want. So the aspects of your Yerusha that were the things that you wouldn't have chosen if you could choose exactly what you wanted, that's a chov. So how can it be that he can create a chov for the children? Because of the pasuk of Nasi Echad Bebate Tikachu. The paradigm comes from the pasuk in Maaseh. It seems that in fact is the pasuk of shlichut. The Gemara is going to go on here from these two dots. The Gemara is going to go on to talk more about this question of managing the property and the affairs of minor orphans. Meaning orphans who are not yet adults, and that's where we'll pick up. That's where we'll pick up next week. Next week, of course, we'll resume back live in the shul for those of you that are near to us, and those of you that are dear to us but far can continue to join us online.
I think we're not here 2 weeks.
2 weeks is Purim, right?
We'll say Purim, but imagine people are not necessarily going to be.
Yeah, I guess Motzei Purim will have to. And some of you are Yerushalmim, so it's certainly your Purim. You think, no, obviously on Purim we won't have Shir. Okay, but next week we will have Shir. So, what, Vladimir?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We can't do it Motzei Purim because who wants to have whiskey if you just have Purim?
But see, tonight it was good to have the Shir online tonight. To see that, you know, people are learning Lishma. It's not just for the whiskey. Once every now and then, we have to remember that. Okay, Laila Tov.
Laila Tov. Yeah.